Soul Talk Podcast is your guide to all things wellness. On this podcast, you'll find many episodes with the scope and focus on health, wellness, and life. Welcome to episode 42 of Soul Talk Podcast. So this episode, I wanted to do this episode to cover some people's frequently asked questions that I get on social media and from working with my clients on a one-to-one basis, and also from talks that I do in gyms and corporate businesses and at events and things like that. So these are some of the questions that come up quite regularly. And this episode is part one, because I imagine that there will be, and I plan for there to be, multiple different parts to this episode, because it's kind of like a never-ending type of thing. But the reason why I chose all of these questions for this particular part one episode is just because it's sort of like the most frequently, literally the ones that I kind of hear all the time. So what I would say is, if none of the questions that you have are answered in this episode, and to help me plan content for future episodes and all that, reach out to me on Instagram. It's at allthingscarla, or email me at carla@wildflow.co with any questions that you're looking for. You can also reach out to me through those different platforms for one-to-one bookings if you're looking some help with working with your menstrual cycle, or maybe something on this episode resonates with you and you feel like you need a bit further help and support, or even if you want a bit of guidance as to who I might be able to refer you to. I'm not a medical expert, I'm not a hormone expert. I work with women more on a an educational basis of the menstrual cycle and the seasons and the phases of the menstrual cycle, and then I do intuitive healing work as well. So obviously I'm not a doctor, it's a completely different area of this work. So yeah, I actually wanted to say as well, if you're based in Ireland, I'm also speaking at an event in Derry on the 3rd of February, Derry in Northern Ireland, and so it's on the 3rd of February, but I'll pop the link in the notes, because there's still some tickets available, so if you wanted to come along. So on this episode today, I'm gonna cover menstrual cycle explained. Some of my clients and some people on social media wanted me to talk about PMDD. I'm gonna cover why you might not be bleeding, and some questions around bleed lengths and cycle durations and clotting, and what else? Clotting and spotting, and a few other things as well. So we'll start with, I want to actually start with saying, before you listen to this episode, remember one thing, and it's the big red rule, and I always carry this with me. This is taught by the Red School in London, who I was actually going to do deeper training with, but I felt that I would step away from trying to do a million courses and trust my own knowledge and everything. So I pulled out of that course, but there's a book called Wild Power, and I'll pop that information in the notes as well. And it's written by the founders and creators of the Red School, and it basically means, it's the big red rule, and it basically means that everyone's different. So when you're learning about the menstrual cycle, or you're, you know, listening to your friends' experiences or other women's experiences, it's important to remember that everyone's different, and you shouldn't compare yourself because, you know, maybe your friend has a perfect 28-day cycle and bleeds for 4 days and isn't too heavy, isn't too light of a bleed. And meanwhile, you're in pain and you're maybe bleeding for 7 days and, you know, you're missing a period every month and all the rest of it. There's no one size fits all. Everybody's menstrual cycle, everybody's period is different. So I'm going to start with the first frequently asked question, which is, what does the menstrual cycle mean? And this is a really basic, but like not a very obvious question. Not everybody knows the answer to this. So your menstrual cycle is not your period. It's not just your bleed. It's your period plus all the non-bleeding days following your bleed until you bleed again. So then the cycle refreshes and then it begins and keeps looping and looping. And so let me explain better. So you go to the toilet, right? You see blood. That could be spotting. So you'll want to wait for a few hours. Some people might spot for longer than that, maybe a day or two. And then once that bleed gets into full flow, you consider that day one. So once you're actually, once your blood is actually flowing, so not just if it's spotting on your toilet paper or your underwear, you want to make sure that you're actually in a flow. And then this is what you can call day one. So this will be day one of a brand new cycle. And starting this way is the easiest way to track, because you can't really just start tracking, you know, whenever you want, in a sense, unless you know the date of your last period, of course. And once you know the date of your last period, then you know that that's day one. But say you're not sure, right? So you say you get your period, you're in a flow, you're in day one. Say you bleed for 4 days, for example. So on day five then, so you're bleeding for day one, day two, day three, day four. And then on day five, your bleed is gone. So keep counting. Day six, day seven, no bleed. Day eight, no bleed. Day nine, keep going. Keep counting all the days, all the non-bleeding days, until you bleed again. So all of the non-bleeding days are still, that's still part of your menstrual cycle. You're not on your period, but this is still your menstrual cycle. So say you make it up to day 31 of your like bleeding and non-bleeding day. So say you bleed for 4 days and then day five is non-bleeding and you keep counting non-bleeding right up to day 31. And then on day 32, your period comes, right? So then your day 32, once your period comes back again, your day 32 becomes day one. So you've had a 31-day cycle, not a 32-day cycle, because day 32 has become a bleeding day, which is a new cycle. Hopefully that makes sense. This is actually really, I always find this part tricky to explain because there's a lot to it. So the cycle continues with this loop ongoing. So it's you know, it's a non-stop loop until maybe you're pregnant and then you might not get your period, or maybe there's hormone issues, or you're approaching menopause, for example. So this is obviously a whistle stop tour. So in the middle of your cycle then is ovulation. So say, for example, as I said, your cycle is 31 days long. So typically if you ovulate, typically you do ovulate like 14 days before your period comes again. So you would deduct 14 from the 31 days of your cycle, and roughly you'll discover then that your ovulation would take place around day 17. So you know, this is going to be helpful information, particularly for three reasons: if you're trying to get pregnant, if you're trying to not get pregnant, and if you are trying to identify your hormonal health. So if you're trying to identify if your body is actually ovulating or not. So hopefully that makes sense. So for more on spotting or ovulation or For more on spotting ovulation or cycle tracking or fertility, you can reach out to me. I can offer you one-to-one support through one-to-one bookings and that sort of thing. You can also follow my Instagram because I will be posting. I do post about this stuff. I plan to post a bit more regularly about it as well. Just getting over my social media fears. But yeah, so the support that I can offer you in terms of your menstrual cycle can vary based on who you are, you know, what you need. But typically when I work with women with their menstrual cycles on a one-to-one basis, usually people want to learn how to cycle track and how to identify patterns and how to use their data. A lot of people come to me with, you know, they're really stressed and they're having really heavy bleeds, or they're, you know, really sort of depressed around their cycle, you know, around just before they have their period. And they want to understand how that they can change things in their lives to feel better, basically. So that sort of leads me on then to frequently asked question number two. And frequently asked question number two is basically to talk a wee bit about PMDD. So like what PMDD actually is, how it can affect people, how to identify if you have PMDD. So PMDD is premenstrual dysphoric disorder. And this answer that I'm going to give you today is very heavily inspired by the book Period Power by Maisie Hill. So I work with some clients who, one, have PMDD and have been diagnosed by a medical professional, or who come to me thinking that they have PMDD because of different symptoms that they have, mostly severe mood swings and depression. So PMDD is an extreme form of PMS. And we use in everyday lives, you know, I do, I'm sure many of you listening do as well, that we use phrases like, oh, I'm PMSing so bad, or, you know, PMSing is like, you know, and there's many gifs about it as well. If you say PMSing, a lot of people are really going to understand what you mean. So, you know, and having PMS symptoms when we're due our period is something that we're very familiar with. So, PMS means premenstrual syndrome. And PMS symptoms include low moods, mood swings, food cravings, bloating, physical pain with cramping, headaches, exhaustion, weight gain, breast tenderness, which is the key one for me. Some months I will literally have to wear 3 sports bras to so that my boobs literally do not move, because if they do, it's complete agony. Acne, breakouts, anxiety, bowel changes is a key one as well, irritability, and you know, there's an exhaustive list as well. So it's very related to all of these things that I've just mentioned. But PMDD is the point where PMS becomes a disorder. So PMDD was the first diagnosis related to the menstrual cycle, and it's often misdiagnosed with rapid cycling bipolar disorder. And this is because it literally, people describe their PMDD as being like complete bipolar, Jekyll and Hyde personality. And it's basically when the low moods become depression or move on to suicidal thoughts and just become really, really extreme. Typically, you know, the PMDD can get pretty intense right after ovulation and lasts then right up until your period comes. And it's this great release of when the blood is being released in your in your bleed, in your period, that you get that sort of release of hormones and release of the mood swings and release of depression and irritability. So that's kind of where it comes in. It's like this dramatic relief from drastic moods and depression and all of that. So in order to diagnose PMDD, you must actually experience 5 out of 11 of the following. Now, these statements are from, or these symptoms and signs, sorry, are from Period Power by Maisie Hill. So I'm going to read them out one by one, just so that you can have a wee listen. And as I say, you're not diagnosed with PMDD. You can't get an official diagnosis until you match 5 out of the 11 of these. So I'll read them out. So the first one is marked changes in mood swings or increased sensitivity. The second one is marked irritability or anger or increased personal conflicts. 3 is marked depressed mood, feelings of hopelessness or self-deprecating thoughts. The fourth one is marked anxiety and tension, feeling on edge. The fifth one is decreased interest in usual activities. The sixth one is difficulty concentrating. The seventh one is lethargy and marked lack of energy. Number 8 is marked change in appetite. So this can include overeating or having specific food cravings. Number 9 is excessive sleepiness or insomnia. Number 10 is feeling overwhelmed or out of control. And number 11 is physical symptoms like breast tenderness or swelling or joint or muscle pain, and a sensation of bloating and weight gain as well can be included in the physical symptoms. So that's the sort of like signs and symptoms that help medical professionals identify if PMDD is present. And remember that PMDD is not like an ongoing, it's considered a mental disorder, but it's not something that you will experience every single day. You know, it goes hand in hand with your cycle. So as I say, these 5 out of 11 symptoms or signs, or maybe you have more than 5 out of the 11, in order for them to be PMDD, you will experience these from post-ovulation right through the premenstrual cycle until the next bleed. So it's not like ongoing. If it is, then that's usually why you might get a misdiagnosis. So, and a lot of people decide as well not to go to their doctor because they don't want a label. They don't want to be labeled as having a mental disorder. They don't want to, you know. So my work with women in my one-to-one intuitive healing sessions allow me to really tune into the client. So I've had people who have come to me with PMDD or who think that they have PMDD. And because, you know, if you have things going on in your life, the mind-body connection, say you're holding trauma in the body, say you're going through a lot of stress, you don't have a great support network and stuff like that. When your hormones are going up and down, your sex hormones, progesterone and estrogen, are rising and falling constantly throughout your cycle, you are going to feel that. You know, your moods and your sensitivity and everything is going to naturally heighten at different points of your cycle. So that's where my work is different from medical, because it's more intuitive healing and understanding the woman and her lifestyle. And so I would speak to my clients, talk to them and understand her symptoms, and then to like her lifestyle, her stressors, her support network, her diet, her exercise regime as well. You know, is there rest Is there self-care in her life? And then my intuitive healing sessions allow me to guide healing through Reiki, yoga, meditation, inner child work, shadow work, stress management, self-care, boundary setting, as well as many other things that just, as I say, intuitively come up in the session. And this brings my clients into a healing journey where they can really explore themselves and heal the areas of their lives that are bringing in the symptoms for PMDD and really heightening those feelings and emotions and physical issues as well. So, you know, it is curable. You're not stuck with it forever. It is manageable. So if you're labeled with PMDD, like, I would say please don't take that at face value and just accept that, you know, you need to go on antidepressants and you know, you need to do X, Y, and Z. I'm also not saying not to go on antidepressants or not to go to your doctor. I think if, you know, you need help, that you should include the medical industry in that. If there's a high level of depression or, you know, suicidal thoughts, getting as much support as you possibly can is extremely important. But I think that the kind of healing work that I do and the people that I work with who do the same thing is also very important too, and really helps connect you to you, so that you can get to know your body. And a lot of the premenstrual symptoms and PMDD and all the different signs and symptoms that come with those things are quite simply a disconnection to the self. So the third one then, the third question is, what is going on if I'm not bleeding? So some of my clients really struggle with irregular periods, and really struggle with, you know, sometimes they'll get a regular period and have a regular menstrual cycle for a few months, and then they'll not get a period, and then they'll get all the symptoms of one, but they'll not get one. And this can be really frustrating for them. I very commonly pick up on, in my intuitive healing sessions, I very commonly pick up on like a stagnant energy flow with a lot of my clients, and your womb space and your periods and your reproductive organs, and that's all connected to your sacral chakra, your sexual desires, your sexual energy, your feminine energy, and also quite potently your creativity. So I think that one of the really important things that I work with my clients on is getting them to reconnect back with their, one, creativity, and two, inner child. So I would have, you know, a lot of my clients work with rediscovering what they used to do for fun, painting, drawing, spending time in nature, you know, some like to build Lego, some like to, you know, do just different things that help them to get creative and get the brain juices flowing, because that's really helping the reproductive organs too. And that's where, you know, you're creating from this space. This womb space is a power house for creativity, and getting pregnant with something that doesn't just have to be a baby, you know, getting pregnant with a project or something that brings you joy, a new business, something that you can really get your teeth into that helps you to, as I say, get creative. But if you're not having a period regularly, say you might be bleeding 1 month on and 1 month off, or your cycle might be actually lasting for like 40 days until you have your next bleed. And, you know, automatically, I think for sexually active women, the first thought when there's a missing or absent period is pregnancy. When the period is so irregular and unpredictable and you're not on the pill or contraceptives, and that are interfering with your hormones, it typically suggests a hormone imbalance. So this can be caused by stress, weight issues, over or underweight. It can be caused by medications. Medications can affect your period. So like medications like blood pressure medication, allergy medications, antidepressants. If you're in your 40s, but not specifically, like in your 40s, you could be younger, because this can happen at any time, you'll want to consider the likelihood of menopause or perimenopause. If you've come off the pill in less than usually 1 year, your body will need time to adjust and get back to its natural rhythms. So this can take some time. Everyone's different. Remember, the contraception works to keep your ovaries asleep, the pill particularly, so that the ovaries cannot produce release eggs each month. So this basically avoids the chance of pregnancy if the pill is actually working. You might want to get tested for or consider the likelihood of underlying health conditions like polycystic ovaries or endometriosis. The other thing is that you'll want to look at your diet. Are you eating enough foods that support your hormones? A big one for me was understanding how absolutely key protein is for your sex hormones, and how key protein is for your period and the production of blood and all of that. Because basically I noticed this when I was vegetarian / mostly vegan for four or five years. And I haven't been for the last year. I've been just eating meat and everything again. But I was noticing that my periods were like lasting for one day. They were getting so light that they were actually the blood was see-through. It was very pink, rather than, you know, an actual healthy red blood supply. So this is important to look at as well. You know, are you getting enough nutrients? Are you getting enough protein? Are you getting enough, are you eating enough food as well? And the right foods. And then to look at your activeness. So are you over-exercising? If you're over-exercising, you need to be eating more too. So then, you know, are you under-eating, for example? When you're not bleeding, you're likely not ovulating. This means then that the reproductive organs are not functioning as they should be. So if reviewing your diet or gym routine or managing stress or any of the other points I mentioned above don't make a difference or help, you should seek further professional medical attention. And if you want to discuss further, you can always reach out to me, and if I can't help you, I'll refer you to someone who can. So I know some amazing hormone experts that I can pass you on to. So the fourth question then is, how long should my period be? So how long should I be bleeding? So if you're bleeding less than 2 days, as I was saying to you, like for ages when I was vegetarian, I was having a 1 day bleed and then it was absolutely period gone, no sign of it. Likely your body's telling you that you're not eating enough. So again, this is, you know, could be telling you that you're not getting enough protein, could be telling you that you're over exercising, could be telling you that you're not getting enough fatty foods. Some of the best foods for your ovaries and, you know, your reproductive organs love the likes of eggs. Eggs are good fats. They are also rich in estrogen. Avocado, healthy fats as well. So just those good healthy fats that your reproductive organs really, really thrive on. Also, are you over exercising? Because if you're over exercising, like there's a lot of marathon runners and athletes who are female who completely lose their period because they're over exercising and they're probably under eating and not getting enough of what they need. When you're over exercising as well, you're really going, you're building the estrogen levels much higher and dominant in the body, so progesterone is then going to be super low, and without progesterone we can't, our reproductive organs won't function as they should, and therefore we won't have a period, we likely won't ovulate either. So, you know, rest is important, getting the right foods is important, getting the balance of exercise and rest is important, and looking at eating foods that support your hormone functions. As I say, foods that are rich in progesterone and estrogen, foods that are high in protein, foods that are organic and not overloaded with harmful chemicals, foods that are healthy fats as well. Typically, a healthy period is considered to be anything from 2 to 7 days. So yeah, just would invite you to look at how many days you're actually bleeding, as in, if you remember back to the first question, how many days you're actually in a blood flow as opposed to spotting. Because when you're spotting, you're not actually having your period and spotting, which I'll come to a wee bit later, can actually suggest hormone imbalance as well. So I'll come to that a wee bit later though. So the fifth question then, how often should I be bleeding? This is another pretty common one that I get asked with my clients or on social media. So your menstrual cycle can last anywhere between 21 to 35 days. So say for example, you have typically a 28 day cycle. So say 1 month you get to day 31 and you're like, oh my God, I'm 3 days late. Technically, you're not considered late until you haven't bled for more than 35 days. It might be late for you, but it's not typically late. And I personally would say if you're bleeding every 21 days, that's not normal. If you're bleeding less maybe than 26 days, you want to maybe be looking at what might be going on in your body, what your body's trying to tell you. And same for if you're bleeding like every 35 days, would typically suggest that there's an imbalance there with the reproductive organs and the function. So, but you might also be irregular if you're still within the first few years of having your first ever period. You know, if you're maybe young, if you're still in your teens, you might be irregular if you've just had a baby and your body's getting back into its flow and its rhythms, or if you're perimenopausal, or if you have underlying health conditions. So, and also sorry if you need support with your lifestyle or diet, there might be issues there with irregular bleeding. So just remember the big red rule as well, you know, everybody's different. And so the sixth question, I was actually going to split this into two parts this particular episode, but I'm just going to keep going. So the sixth question is what colours mean what? So this is obviously hard to answer on a podcast because you can't see me and I can't give you any visuals. But if you want to see a colour chart, you can actually just Google these. Or you can reach out to me and I can send you some visuals. So if your period is super, 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 super light pink, as in like, you know, blood mixed with cervical fluid, it could be a possible sign of anemia. And this is where I was feeling that there was something not right whenever I wasn't getting enough food and the right foods into me when I was vegan / vegetarian, because I was not getting, I literally was never eating protein and I didn't realize how bad that was. But it can also, this can also happen around the perimenopause as well, which is the transition into menopause. You kind of want your blood to be a nice bright red, like a like a pillar box, you know, post box red type color. Having a steady flow of fresh blood on the heaviest days of your period, you know, so not overly heavy, not overly light. Blood clots being present is also considered to be healthy. Again, I'll talk about that a wee bit later. If your blood is really, really dark red, this can be the oxidized blood at the beginning or end of your period, which is fine. You know, your period starts with dark blood and ends with dark blood. But if it's like that throughout, you'd want to, you know, look at that because you want to get the bright red, steady blood flow coming in. There's other colors too, like if it's really dark brown or black, it could actually be a sign of miscarriage or ectopic pregnancy. If your blood is orange, it could be, again, it could be like just the period blood mixed with cervical fluid. So maybe you're not producing enough. Maybe your hormones aren't functioning to their, what should I say, fullest potential. Maybe you're not getting the foods that you need. Maybe you're over-exercising. It could also suggest infection, and same for if the blood is grey, it could suggest infection, like bacterial vaginosis, especially if there's a smell. And yeah, so if you need any more info on that, let me know. Another question, I think this is number 7, how much blood should I lose? So whenever I do my talks and I give this answer, people are usually like, oh yeah, right, I wish, because people will bleed a lot more. Just remember, everybody's different. But typically you could expect to lose up to 5 tablespoons of blood over the course of your period, which could be maybe 2 to 7 days. Other people will lose a lot more. Is clotting normal? Question number 8. Yes, clotting is normal and it's healthy, but if your clots are over the size of a 10p piece, then maybe it's not so good. So you should question that. You know, look at your blood when you're going to the toilet, look at your period, look at the color, look at the consistency, touch it, you know, notice its smell, and notice the clots, and if something doesn't seem right to you, then you're very encouraged to ask questions or, you know, go to a medical professional if you feel the need. The final question is spotting normal? So before and after a bleed, yes, spotting is normal, and yes, you can bleed throughout your cycle. You can spot throughout your cycle. But if you're spotting a lot, there is a strong indicator that there's a hormone imbalance, and hormone imbalance can mean many, many different things, but basically it's to say that it's not normal. So things that can cause spotting are hormonal contraception, so your pill or other forms of contraception. STIs can cause spotting as well. Stress can cause spotting, and because it's linked with your progesterone levels as well. Smoking can cause spotting, and ovulation can, you can spot around ovulation as well. So I am gonna leave it there. That's part 1. As I say, I'm not a medical professional. I don't claim to be. I work with women for menstrual education and support, and should I need to refer you on, I always will. And if you have any questions on this episode, if you would like to book a one-to-one and work with me, if you would like to come to any of my events, let me know, or I hope to see you there. If you would like to book me to come in and speak in your gym, in your corporate business, or if you would like to bag a feature for someone to work with me, Or if you have any questions that you want me to cover on part two, then please get in touch. Okay, thank you.